Morning. I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 55 for our public reading of scripture. Just read through and reflect. And what you'll see in this passage, this chapter, is just a lot of things, but God's grace, reflect on God's grace. And I thought it'd be a good reflection because, you know, thinking of this grace of God displayed in salvation and sending Christ. And of course, the knowledge that, you know, God did not spare his own son really makes it impossible for us not to be able to come to him with anything we have in our time of prayer this morning. So we'll read, reflect, and just open up for any prayer requests and then spend some time in prayer. Isaiah 55 says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make you with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Amen. Just blessed reading the invitation initiated by God to come. The qualifier, if you thirst, anyone who thirsts, and you don't have to have anything to do, to come to him. You don't have to have money. You don't have to have a background. You definitely don't have to be sinless or clean. He does all that for us. He who has no money, buy and eat. So if you're thirsty, you don't just come to God and get temporary water. You get something that lasts, and you get your thirst quenched, and you get food. And he says, come buy wine and milk. You don't just get little morsels that satisfy for a moment. Someone who doesn't have money, you see him at the store getting wine. It's kind of, and wine's kind of a thing that you drink in celebration or in times of plenty. And the invitation is not only to come and be quenched, but to come and buy wine and milk without price. Not going to cost you anything, without money. And there's that question, why are you wasting your money, your effort on that which is not bread, on things, wasting your labor on things that can't satisfy? And he says, listen diligently to me and eat what is good. I got the thing that'll satisfy. So that invitation. And then he says, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. If you look at in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where God makes a covenant with David, he mentions that David's offspring, he won't abandon David's offspring like he did Saul. His love is going to be steadfast, and you can read that in that section. That is an amazing section of scripture to read, the whole chapter 7. But you can reference that, the everlasting covenant, the love is steadfast. We know that the lineage of David is where the Messiah comes from, and so he's not going to cut that off. He's not going to forget that love. So it's that sure, this invitation is that sure to sinners. And then speaking in reference to the Messiah in verse 5, to Christ, you shall call a nation that you did not know. I'm going to go after nations that are not Israel. It's going to go after and call them, and they're going to be in his chosen, elected. He's electing nations that were not outside of kind of the original Israel here. And a nation that did not know you shall run to you, to Christ, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you, speaking of Christ. So then this invitation, seek the Lord while he may be found. And that's today for all those who are not Christians, anyone listening or anyone here. The Lord may be found today, and he's near today. If you're hearing this, call upon him while he is near. And there is a call in verse 7 to repent. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And that's just really a precious thing to read and to always know, is that there's no sinner that is too far gone for God to have compassion on and abundantly pardon. And then we see verses 8 and 9, how different we are from God and our thoughts and ways, and the wicked are in thoughts and ways. Verses 10 and 11 speak of God's word, like the rain and the snow that bring forth something. They grow vegetation. They feed people through that vegetation. Just like that, the word of God will not return void. His word will bring in a harvest. And that harvest is souls that are drawn near to him, that are claimed by Christ. And the end result, 12 and 13, of being brought near to God in salvation, you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. As you go, the mountains and the hills shall break forth in singing. The trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of thorn, the thorn shall come up the cypress. So this ending, this grace in verse 10 makes a name for the Lord and an everlasting sign. So God is making a name for himself through his grace, and he's calling sinners to repent. And if you're a Christian and you're far from God and you're thirsty and you've been feeling distant from God, this applies to you too. If you're thirsty, come, and he'll abundantly pardon. And so God's grace displayed here in a big way. So with that thought, God's grace, what can we bring before him, this gracious God, this morning? Is there anything we need to specifically pray about? Just open it up. If you have anything on Zoom, feel free to speak up or drop it in the chat, and we can pray about that.
Yes. I like the verse 1 where it encourages us to come to buy wine as guilt for that money, that comment that you made about that. It's not the, like you well said, it's not the morsels that he desires to give us. It's the best of things. I think about this verse that tells us, that reminds us that he has not withheld his only son. How shall he not freely give us all things? And so, the best of things that he offers us, and that I know that I, like everybody else, has, prayer requests that we would desire to see answered a certain way, and that we get sometimes kind of despondent and depressed or a little bit discouraged, I guess, at times that we don't see that certain things happening like that. And, our flesh kicks in. It says, that kind of gives us that down emotion, but, scriptures like this come in and says, he does desire to give us the best of things. So the wine, the milk, the best of life. And then if it's not, the invitation is to come, and if we do, he's going to grant us the very best of our requests. Best way to answer those things. And so, and then I find sometimes the older I get, I feel more of a kind of despondency of just, the whole well. When you do look at something on TV and then see that, the news and whatever, like saying, man, it's, that old expression, the world's going to hell in a handbasket sort of thing, and kind of easy to fall into that, that mentality. But it's always good to know that God still offers the best for those that come to Him. He doesn't shortchange them in any way. And I just thank the Lord this morning for the invitation to come, and with the full confidence that He will answer His our prayers. And His word will not come back to Him void. It will accomplish those things. And just thankful this morning for that confidence of Him giving to us the best of what we need in this chapter. So I'm just thankful for it this morning.
Amen. Yeah. Let's think about, every Christian has those times when they get caught up more in their works. And that's a constant battle, but you think sometimes when you make those mistakes or you fall, or you fall into the same pattern or, that you did years ago or whatever, and you look back and you pray for forgiveness once again. You think, aren't you sick of this? Aren't you tired of forgiving? Aren't you tired of giving me an open hand and an invitation, just like the Israelites, going through the waters parted and walking on dry land and looking back and making the same mistakes and doubting God. Now we're going to die of thirst, aren't you sick of dealing with my complaining or whatever? But this invitation stands, and His grace is sufficient, and He can abundantly pardon. He's not going to run out of, love for His people. The covenant stands as sure as it did when he promised David. That's the kind of strength that his ability to find us, capture us, cause us, invite us to repent is that sure. And so it's a good reminder. And I don't necessarily think that's why this section is in here, verses 8 and 9, but it's a good reminder. His thoughts are not ours, and we're thinking that way, thinking in terms of works, and His thoughts are so far above ours, and His love for us, and that His thoughts for us can't be counted or numbered. You see that His ways are not our ways. You see that all over this. I mean, why is He even inviting us in the first place? Why, just because we're thirsty and He wants to, He's identifying the thirsty and saying, come, you can come. listen, like, incline your ear. Given that grace is, why do we even get that in the first place? So praise God for that. But we do, because he's good. He's going to make a name for himself out of that. He has. But I know. Remember, I guess my family were, it's kind of the death of my grandpa and the funeral are kind of, or a memorial are kind of far apart, but this coming Saturday will be the memorial service down there. So just keep them in prayer, and the Lord would open up room for conversation with extended family. Just grace for people who are hurting in that situation. And for us, Traveling Grace will be out next week. So Saturday through Thursday of next, well, this week through next. So be out that Sunday, next Sunday. So keep us in prayer with that. Anything else we can pray about? No lost loved ones, obviously, especially in light of what we read. Anything else we want to lift up today?
We have a business meeting next Sunday. Just since his thoughts are not our thoughts, there we have to have his thoughts.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
Yep. Sharon's mother and the Jen and sense put in this week. And so now she's still waiting to see the oncologist about the pancreatic cancer. So remember that. And then my mom, she's just, you know, slowly, or maybe I should say even it seems like maybe more quick better. Just, you know, just getting weaker. We left this morning with Sproul on the, you know, YouTube, so she could listen to that. And she's not doing all that well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll remember that.
Keep begging in prayer. Coming
on. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, why don't we go before the Lord with these things and pray as you feel led. I'll open this up. And Brother Tom, would you mind closing us in prayer today? Dear God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name by which we can come before you, Lord. Thank you, Father, first for Christ, for drawing us near, for seeking us out. Lord, for choosing us before the foundation of the world, Lord, apart from anything that we could ever do, anything that we would ever do, for your own glory, Lord. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for sending me. And Lord, we know that Christ is the greatest of what you could have given us. And because of that, Lord, we do not, we are not timid to come before you with these lesser things, Lord, these things that require, Lord, a lesser degree of your giving, your ability to give grace. And Lord, we know that you know our frailty, our individual weaknesses, Father, and that those weaknesses, Lord, do not prevent us, Father. We still come before you with our needs, Lord, some of which are just here because we're in the flesh, Lord. Lord, our human needs, Father. You care about them. You care about our frailty. We know we are just dust. And Lord, you invite us to come, and we're here. And we want to be near you. We want to seek your face. We want to see you make a name for yourself, Lord, among the nations. Lord, in this church, in our individual lives, Father, in our homes. And so, Lord, we bring these things that were mentioned today before you, Lord. Think of Brother Tom and Ms. Sharon, Lord, and their parents, Lord. Lord, lift them up to you, Lord. We all here agree, Father, that we want your grace to be upon the situation, Lord, both situations, Lord. Lord, that all the sharing the gospel proclamation that's been done in Brother Tom's mother's life, Lord, would, Lord, like it says, not return void, Lord, that it would accomplish what it set out, what you have wanted it to accomplish, Father. That it would produce a harvest, Lord. We pray that. And Lord, we pray for so much grace in Ms. Sharon's mom's life and in her and all those who are close to the situation, Lord. You would help them to take it one day at a time and navigate it, Lord. Pray for your goodness to be shown, Lord. Lord, we pray for your tender mercy, Lord, in the upcoming birth, Lord, the expectation, Lord, with Megan and Aaron, Lord, that your grace would be there in every detail, Father. Lord, we look to you with our needs as a church, Lord, and know that we, you say, apart from you, we can do nothing. So help us to walk with you in every decision we make, Father, as a church. Lord, to seek to see your name be glorified in every decision, to let that drive and not fear or over or running too fast or going too slow or anything else, Lord, but that we would be driven by what you want, Father, and we need your help with that. We need you to tune our desires to your desires, Father. We need to understand your ways and what you want us to do. Lord, you've given us knowledge in your word. We just need your help in practicing it, Father. Lord, we look to you with our lost loved ones in our lives, Father, that continue to need you to need your salvation, Lord. We pray that, Lord, these verses and this passage that speak about your word not returning void, Lord, we pray that that would be so for these who we care about. Lord, we look to you with my family, Lord, next week and the memorial, the funeral, Lord, that you would be there and you would give grace, Lord, and that you would draw the family closer together, closer to you in different ways, Lord, and order our steps there. And we pray that you'd be with this service today, Lord, that we wouldn't just be going through motions, but that we would be present and knowing what we're doing, Father, and why we're doing it. That you would be here with us, Father. You would go before us and lead us in our worship of you and our preaching of your word. We look to you with all these things and we ask for you to lead us here now, Father, in Christ's name.
Bless the Father. There is this morning a commonality that binds us all together, that each one here comes with weaknesses, with sin that would, in the flesh, would cause us to want to disqualify ourselves from your grace. Lord, there are burdens of our heart, each one of us here, that we have that we can express before you, Lord. Prayers burden us, Lord, there are lots of weights on every one of us, Father, but there's also a commonality that everyone here, that our hope is in the God who hears, the God who we lift up this morning, who listens, and whose word indeed accomplishes what it sets out to do. We also have in common that we have nowhere else to go with our burdens, with our sins for cleansing and forgiveness before your throne, before the Lamb who was slain, to first cleanse us of our sins and allow us access before the throne, Father. And so in common we come with our requests, the burdens of our hearts, the things that we desire you to hear, and your word declares that we do have access by the blood of Christ to enter the throne with these things, Father. And we thank you for that great access, Father. It is indeed to a wine and a milk, the good things, Father, that we have that the outside world does not. Access to the God of all things, of all the universe. And so, Father, we thank you for those great gifts this morning, for that great access to cry out to the one who indeed hears, who formed all things, who sustains all things, and who will soon cause all things to come to an end, Father, this world as we know it. But the promise is for an eternal home. We patiently wait for that day, Father. But in the meantime, in this world, we pray that you would indeed continue to hear our cries, hear our prayers, these things we lift up for lost loved ones, for decisions in the small church which you place us in, for hurting, for physical needs, for ailments within our families, Lord. Even bringing new ones into this world. It is indeed all in your hands, your precious lives. And indeed, considering each one precious. And what a great price was paid to, on our behalf, Father. We thank you for that blood this morning that was filled on our behalf. Father, would you please come? Lift up our spirits this morning, Father, knowing that you are in our midst, knowing that our prayers ascend up to the throne. We thank you, Father, for that access. We thank you for the good things. We thank you for the invitation that continues still today, that you have not cut off your mercy, that you have not closed the door on your grace. You're still pouring forth, Father. Even upon people like us, even within our frailties, you still come. You still offer the invitation. Oh, Father, would you grant it a while longer yet, so that those that we know and love in our midst, in our families, shall hear the invitation and shall come. Oh, Father, please continue forth your mercy. You be pleased to speak forth the word that a revival would break forth in the hearts of our families, in the hearts of this land, in the hearts of the world. Extend your mercy, Father, a bit longer. We pray. Hear our cries, Father, for our lost loved ones this morning. Open up minds. Give your spirit, Father, to the ones that we reached out to with the gospel. May you give them your Holy Spirit. Breathe life into these words. And even this morning, Father, we pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would make your words come to life to us. Encourage our souls this morning, Father, with a great joy. Should encompass us, knowing that you have us wrapped into you. arms and into your bosom. We praise you and we worship you this morning, Father. Be pleased to hear the groanings of our heart, our prayers. Receive our times of praise, Father. Thanksgiving for what you've done, your invitation. I pray, Lord, also for my own daughter, Amber. I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to do a work, do a great work, Father, that you're capable of doing. Cause her headaches to cease. Cause her heart to be open. Her spirit to be broken by your presence and by your word. Grant her relief from her physical pain, Father, I pray. Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again. I thank you again, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for gathering us together. Lord, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful, Father, that you've given us a revelation, a written revelation and a record that we can appeal to, that we can cling to, that we can meditate on. Father, a written revelation that we can gather around, that we can read and study, learn to apply, and to live by. Father, you graciously tell us that we can come and we can learn, Father. We can buy these things that we need without money. And we can be blessed, Father, when we come together. Father, when we come together in your presence, as we gather to worship in spirit and in truth, we do come, Father, because there is no money that can buy these things in the spirit. We have no currency, Lord. No currency, Father, other than what you give us in your spirit. Father, that you cause us to pray and to call out. So, Father, that's the way we come. We come to buy of you, Father, in the Spirit, that wine of healing, that wine of comfort. That milk, Father, of the Word. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us. Father, again, we come. We come together to meet. We want the bread from heaven. Father, we want the bread of life that we know is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us labor, Father, for those things that, as your word tells us, really don't satisfy. We labor, we do buy things of this earth, Father, to feed our physical bodies. But Lord, how much more important to come to you, Father, for the nourishment of our soul. And Father, we would delight in you. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised that our soul will live. That you've promised to make an everlasting covenant. And we thank you, Lord, for the covenant that's in Jesus Christ, that's in his blood and in his body. Father, the very wine and bread that your word tells us that we come for. That wine we know, Lord, represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Bread representing his flesh. Lord, that this is that everlasting covenant promised us to your people, Father, that we'll live with you in eternity. So, Father, we come even this morning again with all these cares. They're earthly cares, Father. They're not the cares of what's going to happen in the future. We have cares, Father, for the things that affect us now, the things that, Lord, we find burdensome. Physical things, whether it be the money that we need, Father, to buy that earthly bread and that earthly wine to feed our physical bodies. Father, whether it be the physicians and the medicines and the healing, Father, of our physical body that we need, we come and we bring these things to you. Many that we know, Lord, lost loved ones who are sick and ailing. Yet we know, Father, that the biggest need in their life is not that physical healing, Lord, but it's that they might come for that wine and that bread that satisfies, Father, that bread and wine of the everlasting covenant. I pray, Lord, that you would give them understanding. We know, Lord, for them to understand, they must first be made alive. We pray, Father, that you would be pleased to give life to our lost loved ones. That they might have sight, that they might see Jesus Christ lifted up and exalted. That they might see him, Father, in his true glory and his true beauty. See his wealth. See his power, see his compassion, see his mercy, and also see his just and righteous anger, his wrath against his enemies. And Lord, they would see what it is in the everlasting covenant that Jesus Christ, your Son, took on flesh, the very Son of God, took on flesh to bear a burden of sin, to bear a burden that, Father, none of us could bear, Father, to bear an eternal burden, and then to face you, his Holy Father, in the fullness of your wrath. Lord, as you even turned away and would not look on him. Father, we experience many times losing a parent, losing a loved one, perhaps even, Father, being forsaken by them. Lord, our Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, took on the sin of the world, the sin of his people, that his people could be in an everlasting covenant, and we could live forever. There's so many things down here, Father, that distract us, so many things that turn our eyes away from these truths. The busyness of work, the busyness of the home, the busyness of being a parent, being a grandparent, having children. Father, we know that these things are given to us. We know that, Father, that they're blessings. And yet, Lord, the world convinces us that these things are hindrances, that these things get in the way of our personal satisfactions, that these things hinder us, Father, from fully achieving all that we could be in this world. Lord, I pray that you would turn our sights heavenward, that we would see, Father, that these things that we do here, Father, they perish. Lord, let us see that we can come and buy that wine, that milk, and that bread without money that lasts forever and be satisfied in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. That we'd not seek our satisfaction, Father, in position. And we'd not seek our satisfaction, Lord, in the things that we can accumulate and acquire. And we would not seek it in prestige. Lord, that you would cause us to see again, Father, these things will perish. They will perish, Lord, and if we don't repent, we too, like those things, we also will perish. Lord, let us know and understand these truths. And I pray, Father, that you would put in us a right understanding of the things that are going on in the world today and the things that go on around us, the things that affect us personally and directly, as well as those things, Father, that are just a broad and worldwide nature. That we would see, Lord, that it's the gospel which is the power of God and the salvation. And that, Lord, men need the gospel. Whether it's shootings and stabbings, murders, whether it's war, whether it's famine, whether it's a world economy, whether it's a pandemic and a virus, whatever, Father, that's out there, Lord, that all of these things can distract us from what is everlasting. You've made an everlasting covenant with your people. Let us see, Father, that our status is everlasting in Christ. It's not in this world. Deliver us from the things of this world, Father. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Give us strength. Pray, Father, that as we sit together this morning, as we hear from your word, that, Lord, your word would penetrate our hearts this morning. Father, we have many lost loved ones. We leave them this morning, Father. We leave them in your care. We love them. But, Father, now we leave them. We leave them at the foot of the cross that you might deal with them. The cares, Father, that would hinder us, whether it be just paying a bill, buying a house, buying a car, going to school, raising a family, whatever these cares would be, Father, we leave them this morning, Father, at your feet. We ask, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see Jesus Christ this morning. That you would give us ears that we could be attentive and hear your word. Lord, we pray almost flippantly at times about asking for revival. Oh, Lord, bring revival. Lord, it's a good thing that men would pray. Father, do we mean it? Father, we can sit here and we can joke. We can cut up and then expect, Father, from you to somehow bring revival. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to see our spiritual poverty. Why are we called, Father, in your word to come and buy without money? Because we are so poor. We are so needy. We are so poor. And yet, Lord, you provide. You are the gracious provider. In your goodness and mercy, you provide all these things for us in spite of our poverty. Lord, see us, Father. Cause us to see. Cause us to see our neediness. Cause us to focus on those things that are most needful in life. You tell us in your word, the bread, the wine. The bread and the wine, Father, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the milk of the word. These are the things that we need. These are the things that, Father, we need. Please, I pray you would do a work in me. I pray you would change my heart, Lord, even this morning. Increase my focus, Lord. I pray, Father, you would convict me when I just so easily and quickly forget these things. When I can so easily get up from this place today, Father, after hearing the preached word and walk out as if nothing's happened. And yet, Father, if we understand your word and understand what we're doing even here this morning, that we are in the presence of the Most High God, the King of Kings, the Lord and Creator of the universe, the Sovereign God Almighty, who also has the power to give life and to take it, and whose justice and judgment is right and holy. Cause us to remember and realize, Lord, and to believe that sin is real, that judgment is real, that hell is real. Cause us, Lord, to be among those who would come and buy wine and milk without money. That, Father, we would seek the bread of life in Jesus Christ. Teach us now this morning, Father. Teach us from your holy word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.